Let's head on down to South Dakota, where Warren Rushy, South Dakota State University Extension feedlot specialist, joins us now. Let's talk about hot weather, big cattle, and what can go wrong. Warren, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mac. How are you today?
I'm pretty darn good. How's everything in your world? Are you everybody in your family and close circle of friends okay?
Yeah, we are. We've been fortunate. The county I live in has been relatively untouched. Do have some, more cases in the county just to the west of us that are popping up that are starting to spread around just a little bit. So we're kind of watching that. But for the most part, my family, my circle, we've been missed so far by the outbreak.
Yeah, the research has shown that kids who grow up on dairy farms or feedlot operations, they are the healthiest as they become adults. And maybe all the feedlots that you've been around, maybe that is kind of protecting you.
Well, that or the buckets of feed I hauled to some cattle and sheep over the years growing up, maybe that had something to do with it. But either way, we'll keep our fingers crossed and hope everyone stays healthy.
For sure. All right. Well, the whole COVID-19 upset of the apple cart has brought along the beef processing sector and backup of cattle. How are we kind of getting back to normal? How bad of a problem was it for backing up of animals in the feedlots in South Dakota?
Well, for a time, getting cattle delivered was, really a challenge. I work with a coworker, Dr. Walker, on a project where we had some cattle that needed to be shipped, and I think we talked to five or six backers before we were able to find a place to go with those in mid-May. So thankfully, that situation is not quite as tight, and so we're able to, more places have ramped up capacity and we're closer to normal. But in terms of, we've all those cattle that should have gone in April and May, not all of them got shipped. So we've got a bit of a backlog in cattle that are still in the feedlots that needed to have been shipped and are probably a little bit behind in terms of their shipping date.
And they are heavier, and the weather is getting hotter. So what are the options that producers have?
Well, the first one, we need to preface this by, if we've got some cattle that are getting bigger and heavier, we need to, use all of our, the options at our disposal to get those marketed in as timely a manner as possible. Holding on to these cattle with the idea, hope that the market will improve, just usually doesn't work very well. So what we need to do with them from both a economic and an animal health standpoint is get them shipped as timely as we can. From the standpoint of what are we going to do to care for them while they're in our possession, we need to be thinking about heat stress on these cattle as we shift from spring to summer. That's can be a real challenging time in terms of letting cattle get adjusted to warmer conditions. They're just not as well acclimated. In a lot of cases, those cattle are still carrying a winter hair coat, and then all of a sudden we flip the switch from cool over to warm and humid, and that can be a challenge for those cattle to adapt. The change about this year is that bigger, fatter cattle adapt to those conditions not as readily. They're more sensitive to heat and heat stress conditions, so it's a bit of a perfect storm as we deal with some cattle that are bigger than what we would have expected, and then we switch over to some more summer-like weather conditions.
I can't remember the year it happened. It was it was over 5 years ago, maybe 7 years ago, when we had a hot, humid day. It was July, and some guys went out there and hosed down their cattle. The dew point temperatures were unbelievably high. The sun was shining. They took the water hose and sprayed down their cattle, and then the cattle suffered some kind of stress that caused them to die. And again, you recall that, don't you?
Yes, I do. And that brings up one of the challenges with using sudden water application to deal with heat stress conditions is that we need to get them used to that. And if they are overheated and then suddenly we start hosing them down with fire trucks or some of those things, we can cause some mortalities. So Thankfully, we haven't seen conditions like that yet. But if we do start getting into those kinds of conditions, we need to be thinking about starting a water application strategy before they get to the point of, you know, under some severe heat stress, so that we, one, prevent some of that extra heat load, keep them more comfortable, and then also it's not as big a shock when they're already overheated, and now we throw some additional stress on top of that.
Yeah, okay. I mean, if we, when we take a bath, we kind of adjust the temperature so that it doesn't, holy mackerel, you know, it's either not too hot or too cold. But, you know, when you put the hose on the cows, I mean, the longer the hose runs, the deeper the water is coming from the earth, the colder it is. So something to keep in mind there, huh?
Yeah, you know, with heat stress, being a little early is almost always better than waiting too long.
Okay, good. Now, the potential for erratic feed consumption patterns increasing with more days on feed. You have a great article on that on the SDSU Extension website. So if that is a concern or that is an issue, talk a little bit about acidosis and that problem and how we minimize that.
Well, acidosis is a concern all the time in the feedlot, from the standpoint that we want to keep feed intakes and feed deliveries as consistent as possible. When we start throwing in these two wild cards we're dealing with now, cattle that are nearing the end of their growth curve, bigger and fatter, along with changing weather conditions, that can sometimes pose some challenges as far as keeping those cattle on feed consistently. It's not uncommon for us to see cattle as they get towards the end of the feeding period start backing off on feed intake, and it's not at all uncommon that when we run into a hot spell for cattle to back off on intake. What can be the challenge is sometimes if we try to feed them too much, or if we don't recognize those signals, we can end up throwing some cattle off feed and creating some acidosis challenges late in the feeding period that either hurt performance or in really severe cases cause some bloats and mortalities. So we want to really be watching those cattle very carefully in terms of what their feed intake is doing and tracking that carefully. From a heat stress standpoint, if we're feeding more than once a day, it's probably a really good idea to shift more of the feed deliveries to late in the day rather than early. That lets the cattle eat more feed when the temperatures are dropping and in the cooler part of the day, rather than as the heat load is increasing. The other thing we can look at is, you know, maybe if we're really having some trouble with, you know, particular pens bouncing around an intake, think about perhaps adding a bit more roughage to the diet just to reduce the starch load, provide a little bit of a safety and insurance factor so that those cattle are a little more stable and a little less risky from an acidosis standpoint.
Warren, I'm always amazed at how well the cattle do at when it's 20 below and there's a 25, 30 mile an hour wind going, the wind chill factor is way below. Those cows are just fine out there. But in the summertime, boy, the heat stress and fatigue shows up, pretty darn fast, especially in the black-hided cattle.
Well, yeah, you're right. Heat stress really causes us more trouble for the cattle than does the cold stress. You know, our challenges with cold are you and I and humans and equipment and waters and all those kinds of things. You know, the black-hided cattle, you know, if they're outside, you know, we all know black absorbs heat energy, and so they are at an elevated risk compared to red or lighter colored cattle. The other condition too is, you know, we got to think about airflow. So some of those pens, if you know, we've planted shelter belts for winter conditions, those aren't necessarily the best options when we get into real hot weather. Because of lack of airflow, they can't get rid of the heat as well. So yeah, the heat's and if when I talk to cattle feeders in the region, almost every one of them will tell me heat stress is becoming a bigger concern for them for whatever reasons. But so it is something that I've spent a fair amount of time on the last couple of years trying to help provide some resources for folks to help mitigate those risks.
All right. And Warren, you have written an excellent article. You got great information on the SDSU Extension website. And so encourage producers to go there. Warren Rushy, SDSU Extension Feedlot Specialist, thank you for the visit. Hope all is well and stays well with you guys there.
You too, Mick. Have a great day.
You the same. Thank you.